And welcome back to Coast. Hey, let's do 3 hours tonight of open lines. But I want all your calls. Lots of things going on this planet. Let's check in. But also strange calls. I mean, let me tell you this story. Listen to this. In Portland, Oregon, a 3-year-old Great Dane dog was so miserable, his owners decided, look, we're going to rush him to a animal hospital. So they did in Portland. Well, X-rays show that he had a stomach full of foreign material. So after 2 hours of surgery, they found out that this Great Dane had consumed 43 and a half socks in gosh knows how long. You talk about weird. So then they decided at this hospital, let's do a contest for strange things. What did they eat? First place winner, Plano, Texas, in an animal hospital, $1,500. They treated a frog that ate more than 30 small ornamental rocks from its cage. That's strange. But there are stranger stories out there, so share them with me when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to our Friday night and the Saturday morning open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Dory, and by the way, we're going to be checking in with one of our radio colleagues, Clyde Lewis, probably on Tuesday. He's still in the hospital. I wanted to get him on for a few minutes tonight, but he's still, you know, fighting back. He has a pulmonary embolism, and apparently he had 5 clots in his lung. Dangerous stuff, let me tell you. Very, very dangerous. So, again, keep Clyde in your prayers. He's getting better, but that is still a tough, tough battle. But we might be able to get him on for a little bit. He hosts, of course, the show Ground Zero. And great guy. Great guy and does a great job. We're going to do open lines for you tonight for the next 3 hours. I haven't had a chance to do that in a long time, so let us do that right now. There's an interesting schedule coming up over the next 3 Fridays where I'm at a major network event that I've got to attend. I've got some other events that I've got to do because of the sad tragedy that occurred in my family with my sister passing. We're doing a memorial for her next weekend, and that's going to necessitate me taking Friday off. And then things move on. So let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up with Claudia in Joshua Tree, California, first-time caller. Hello, Claudia. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was calling to talk to their Australian guest, but I can tell you, too, I was going to ask him about post-traumatic syndrome in babies. I was born in Australia in 1940, and my mother and I think we were just about to walk out death's door when we were saved at the last minute and we survived. And 4 months later, they decided to go back to America. My father was a minister, and they booked passage on the HMS Niagara, which was a freighter, a British freighter.
Sure,
250 miles off the coast of New Zealand, she was torpedoed and sunk. And I have the book titled German Raiders, written by the UFO commander that sunk her. But I spent 8 hours along with other people in lifeboats before we were picked up. And I wonder, at 4, with no walls, you know, they say, my parents say that I was a delightful child and I didn't cause anybody any trouble. But I wonder how much of their fear was I absorbed. And is this possible, if that could be post-traumatic stress?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with what you went through, Claudia.
Yes, I know,
gosh.
But I'm 74 now.
Well, that doesn't go away. It doesn't go away that easily. And you've never had hypnosis or regression or anything like that?
No.
Huh?
I haven't. Oh, yes, Pat Collins hypnotized me once. But that was for something else. It was for neck problems I had. Remember the hip hypnotist?
Yeah.
That was
and did the neck problems go away?
Yes, it did.
It does work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as of right now, at your age, mm-hmm. are you still having these problems?
They don't seem to relate to that, but I never did seem to fit here when they came back to this country. I just never seemed to be in step. 2 weeks before they booked passage, they parked my little baby buggy, my pram, outside of a small gift shop. And my father looked out the window. My baby buggy was surrounded by three Aborigines, Bushmen, and he went out and said, "Yes, can I help you?" And he said they continued to talk, and they were agitated and pointing, and one of them said, "We heard her, we came to see." And he said, and they said, "She's an old soul." "Yes, old, very old soul." And then they start thinking, "I wonder if I'm walking." But I didn't die, so maybe that's what we've been doing battle with. This.
That's weird. Now, I got to ask you this, though. He was in the store, but he left you outside in a baby buggy?
Yeah, my parents, yeah. They just.
Okay. Oh, you can't do that nowadays.
No, I know that. It's good old simple days. And I remember when I was 12, my girlfriend and I could catch the red car in Compton and go to the Pike all by ourselves.
You can't do that anymore
no,
either.
No, I know.
Things have changed. All right, Claudia, thanks. But, you know, 74 years old and you're still having these things that you feel like you don't fit in. I mean, if you want to go to a hypnotherapist, go for it. You know, if it's bothering you, give it a try. Let's go to Christian in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program, Christian. Go ahead.
Hello, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing
just
fine.
Want to say my condolences to you and what happened with your loss in your family. So I wish you
Thank you.
The best.
Thank you.
And take care with that. But I wanted to say that last night I was listening in to the show that you had the first hour with Richard Gage.
Yes.
Who has the explosive, the 9/11 explosive evidence. I think a lot of people in this country are beginning, I think, to wake up and realize that 9/11 may have actually have been a huge fraud. And I was like, it's like what he even mentioned. In the beginning, when the attacks occurred, I believed the original story. And I bought, and I still have a copy of the 9/11 Commission report, that it was possible that, 19 of these individuals could have specially been trained to do this task and carry it out. But I think over time, it's just things just didn't add up to me. And especially when I kept hearing more about, the 9/11 Truth Movement, and a lot of things like what Alex Jones was saying and Jesse Ventura, that there are certain things about the attacks that didn't make sense. Richard Gage said that for him, kind of the smoking gun for him is the collapse, the unexplained collapse of Building 7. For me, it was the Pentagon, because it just doesn't look like that a passenger airliner, I forgot the model, but apparently like a DC something, didn't crash into the Pentagon, because the hole, the impact looks just too rectangular, like somebody went in with a knife and like cutting out a slice of pie. If a plane of that size crashed into the Pentagon, you would expect the collateral damage would have been far worse than it was. But I think the point is that, unfortunately, I think, like the Kennedy assassination, I think 9/11 was an inside job, and I think the purpose of it essentially was to serve the military-industrial complex, the war machine, and corporations. Because if anybody's really benefited from this, it's been the defense industry, it's been bankers and corporations.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me address this for you and give you my perspective, Christian, on what I think all this is at this point, some 13 years later. Because I've looked at it, I've studied it, I've interviewed so many different people with different perspectives on this, and I've got to tell you, first of all, after Richard Gage was on with me for a couple hours yesterday, I received tons and tons of emails, and many of them, of course, supporting the fact that he wants a new investigation and looking into it. I did, however, get some emails from people who called him unpatriotic, and how could he say these things? And let me address that first of all. I think any time in this country, we need to have thorough investigating, wherever it takes us, wherever it leads us. And because someone questions an official report does not make him unpatriotic by any means. All he wants is the answers. And he believes, based on his experience and the 2,200 architects that have joined his group, the 9/11 truth seekers, the architects and engineers, they believe that something else happened. They believe that. And they have their evidence and their data to back that up. So you're not unpatriotic when you question. I think that's healthy to question, first and foremost. It's critical to do that. Now, in terms of what's going on, I don't think there's any doubt that whacked out people from the Middle East were part of this great plan to take down the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and God knows what else they wanted to do. But I think that there is a rogue element in government that is operating independently, independent of the president, independent of the Pentagon, and they've got their own black ops budgets. I don't know how they were financed. Drug deals, who knows what. But they are doing things that benefit a lot of people who benefited because of the tragedy of 9/11. And you know what? I will go back to the scene in Florida where President Bush, speaking before those kids, was whispered in his ear what had happened. Did you see the look on his face? That wasn't the look of somebody who knew what was happening or coming down. He was in shock. But there are people that want to benefit from all kinds of tragedies, not only in this country, but around this planet. And I think they're manipulative, and I think they're capable of doing anything. So you got to be careful. They're out there. So when people like Richard Gage question, I think you have to listen. Then you make up your own mind. But he's asking for a new investigation, and I think, you know what? We're entitled to that. We really are. Let's go next to Decatur, Illinois. Candy is with us. Hello, Candy.
Hi. Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine. How are things in Decatur these days?
Oh, well, as always, it's kind of like a little tumbleweed town here. It's really kind of boring.
Well, so it's, you've got soybean fields and corn fields and everything else out there.
And closed down businesses and boarded up businesses. Just like
I had a horse farm about 15 or 20 miles from you. In,
oh, really?
Iliopolis.
Oh, that's not too far. No, that's good.
I kind of miss the that thing.
Pardon?
I miss that place.
Oh, I miss the mountains. I want to go back to Colorado.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
The reason I was calling you is I agreed with what you had just said, how people, it is really good for people to question things. Me and my husband, we were in St. Louis. We went to a Cardinal game, and we were very close to Ferguson, Missouri, and when all this activity was going on. Well, my husband's a musician, and he wrote a song that's called Hands Up, Don't Shoot, and that's on YouTube, and that was put on there for the people of Ferguson. He also wrote you a song for Coast to Coast. He's an amazing musician. I would love to be able to send you the CD. Whether you use it for your own purpose or whether you put it on the air, it's entirely up to you. But he is a funny musician, and I think you would really enjoy his music because he gets a lot of his ideas off of Coast to Coast and the people that call in. And as can I get that address off the air or
I will put you on hold, and Gina, who's filling in for Tom tonight, will give you the address of the network. I'll be back there in a week or two.
And I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I know that's difficult, and you're amazing that you're able to come and do the talk show and still do what you do. And losses are difficult, and I wish you and your family much peace and comfort at this time. It's
thanks,
overwhelming.
Kat.
I know.
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll give you the address of the network, and send us the CD right on the outside. That you talk to me on the show, because we get a lot of emerging artists, bumper music, and I mean by the hundreds and thousands. And so I want to be able to get to that and know what it is. And speaking of that, I'm going to be on Sunday night. As you know, for Sunday, where the first couple hours we have emerging artists pop up. And these are people who are great musicians. You know, they play locally in whatever city they're in. They write music, and they don't have an opportunity to get their music heard on the radio. And so that's what we do. And we give them that national blitz, and our webmaster, Lex, or whoever's working that particular Sunday, does some great stuff with our coasttocoastam.com website and their websites. And it's really cool. So, give them as much support as you can. Next up, we go to Guy in Antelope Valley, California. Guy, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. You got a great radio voice, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I've heard that a few times. No, I never have. Hey, I had a dream about Charlie Sheen. It seemed like it was real. I was in his room in his house, sitting at a coffee table having a drink with Charlie, and it seemed like it was real. I was there. It seemed like it was.
You know what? I'm told he's that approachable where that might happen one day.
Well, I was sitting across from him, and he was offering me a job, but he was commenting on the clothes I was wearing. He said I needed to dress nicer if I was going to work for him. basically be his chauffeur. And he said, you need to have a nice suit. I'll buy you a suit. I'll set you all up. And I want you to look nice. And then he started showing me around his house. And the strange thing is that the reason why I called you is because of the dreams. One of his bedrooms had nothing but artificial Christmas trees in it.
That's weird.
From front to back, I mean, you couldn't walk in the thing. It was full of Christmas trees. And I asked him, you know, they were different colors, green, red, blue, you know, your typical aluminum type ones. And, you know, but I asked him, I go, why do you have this room full of Christmas trees? And he said to me that his fans send him Christmas trees and that room was his perpetual holiday room. It cheered him up, I guess.
We've got to check into him to see if he really has that. That would be strange if he did.
It was very strange. And
would you have taken the chauffeur job if he had really offered it to you?
I probably would have.
That would have been interesting.
Even though I am working, you know, it's nice to change things up a little bit.
It would be a break. Guy, thanks for the call. Yeah, I bet chauffeurs could write incredible stories of the people that they work for. That would be an interesting book, wouldn't it? True Confessions of Chauffeurs. And get a whole bunch of them. Maybe we should write that book. To just do stories about the people they work for. Of course, it'll be the last that they work for them. But great stuff. Manny's in Chicago. Welcome to Coast to Coast, Manny. Go ahead.
How you doing, Mr. Nuri?
Good, Manny. Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you a little story I had when I was in high school.
Okay.
I had a vision when I was about 15 years old. A couple of buddies of mine and I, we skipped school and were doing some drugs. I mean, nothing heavy, just marijuana. But we were in a room and I left the room. And on the way back to my room, to that room, I had a vision passing by a mirror with my mother. We were discussing why I skipped school and why I was doing drugs with my friends.
Yeah.
And I went back to the room and told my friends about it. And a couple minutes later, the cops came in. We all got arrested.
Oh, boy.
And my mom picked me up. Everybody got to go home. And we had the same conversation I had in the mirror with her. And I remember telling my friends before we got arrested. So it wasn't made up. I don't know how it happened. But it happened to me when I was like 15 years old.
Precognitive dreams. Very, very powerful. Don't forget, check in with me with some of your strange stories today. I think one of the strangest I ever had was a guy who was walking around the corner of a building being followed by somebody who then walked up the wall. He said that scared the living daylights out of him. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I had to change a plane ticket today for an upcoming flight, and the Southwest attendant said, "Are you the?" And I went, yeah. And he said, "Gosh, I love your show." So we got a lot of listeners out there in the airline business, too. So thanks for listening. And by the way, we hit another milestone with our television program, Beyond Belief. It continues to grow. I want to thank you for that. And if you haven't watched it yet, you can simply go to this website, www.beyondbelief.com. That's beyondbelief.com. And next week's special guest, Patricia Bragg, all dressed up in her pink outfit, talking about how you can take care of yourself. BeyondBelief.com. Back with you, open lines, and let's go straight to the calls. And we're doing this all night long here for you. We shall go to Tom in Fresno, California. Tom, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hello, George. I was wondering if everybody could pray for the California so we could receive some water down here in the,
oh,
in the valley.
Oh, my gosh. You're so right.
We've been
plus,
in a drought.
I've got Lynn McTaggart on this coming week, and we're going to be talking about intention. And I'm going to have her try to do an experiment to get it to rain like crazy out there. It's ridiculous. When I go back to the L.A. area, Tom, things are drying up like crazy.
Yes, out here in the valley, there's a lot of people without work, ranchers. And if it gets another drought, the whole it's going to be a lot more hurting for the people.
I think you're right. We will do that for you. Let's see what
happens.
We did a mini experiment a couple months ago, and it did rain. It rained like within an hour and then rained a little harder the next day. We've been getting rain in the St. Louis area like crazy. I mean, coming down in buckets. The humidity is out of control, unusual for September. It should have been here in August, and they said it really wasn't. If we could move some of that, shift it a little bit, California would be very happy with that. Let's go to Maine. Gary's with us, Wildcard Line. Gary, you're up.
Hey there.
Hey.
I really appreciate it, you taking my call. I've got something I've been going through lately.
What's happening?
Well, to be honest with you, man, I'm not one for any sort of religion or believing in the devil, but something very, very odd happened to me about a couple months ago. I started having these, and I hate to say it, but they're like visions. I see something, and at first I thought it might have been the devil, but it's not. It's Moloch. And I had no idea what that was the first time it happened. And I went to the library and I looked it up, and I got to preface this with this. I'm a loving father of two children, and this scares me to death. But I was visited by Moloch.
This is that head of a bull, right?
Yeah, he's like some sort of weird, bizarre god of child sacrifice. And he came to me, and it was so bizarre because, you see all these people talking about, the way the world is and how, there's a lack of jobs and, things are tight through the economy. And basically, he was describing to me this vision of the future that was based on population control. And he was trying to emphasize this to me. And it was so peculiar. Like, I was standing outside of my own home, and there was just rain of fire. And it was coming down, and he came to me, this ugly, heinous, disgusting thing. And he was telling me that was the way forward. And I mean, obviously I would never do anything like that, but it just scares me to death, and it's happened so many times now.
That's weird, because this creature, Moloch, was notorious, as you said, for child sacrifices, during the biblical days.
But what do you think this could possibly mean? Do you think this is real? Do you think this is something that people should be aware of? I mean, I can't bring myself to believe that it's, real in the way of child sacrifice, maybe so much as it is, something in the vein of like just that we need to control populations, that we're growing out of control. There's too many of us here.
This has got to be driving you crazy. Now, have you ever had any visions like this before?
No, never, never. I mean, I've been to church, and I've never, and that's what scares me to death, is I've been to church. I've never been touched by God, as they say. And, I've never likened myself to being a very particularly dark person.
Well, I mean, just list, this is the biblical term of Moloch for people who don't know. The king, the sun god of the Canaanites in old Palestine, and sometimes associated with the Sumerians, although Moloch was entirely malevolent, I won't even say it, I can't even talk tonight, in the 8th and 9th century, firstborn children were sacrificed to him by the Israelites in an area southeast of Jerusalem. These sacrifices to the sun god were made to renew the strength of the sun fire. The ritual was probably borrowed, they say, from surrounding nations. Moloch was represented as a huge bronze statue, the head of the bull, as I mentioned. The statue was hollow. Inside, there burned a fire which colored Moloch a glowing red. Children were placed on the hands of the statue. Through an ingenious system, the hands were raised to the mouth as if Moloch were eating the kids. Then the children fell into the fire where they were consumed by the flames. The people gathered before Moloch, dancing on the sounds of flutes and tambourines to the screams of the victims. According to some sources, the Moloch in the Old Testament is not a god, but a specific form of sacrifice. Gosh, I hope that didn't happen, but it probably did. The fact, though, that you are having this kind of feeling, Gary, is weird. I have never heard of somebody having something like that. Let's track it. That's the only thing I can say. Let's go to Moses in Tallahassee, east of the Rockies. Hey, Moses.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Now, you're adept at the Bible. Did you know about Moloch?
Yes, I've read some of Moloch. But again, the bull comes out of Ezekiel saw four faces when he was taken up to the mothership, and he saw the one that had the face of a lion, the face of a man, the face of a bull, and one said the face of an eagle. But in Egypt, it's the falcon. So, but I want to say my sincere condolences to you, George, your family, your loved ones, and your friends for the transcendence of your sister.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That was.
But again, your early caller just about stole my thunder a little bit. It's concerning the Bible.
Nobody steals your thunder, Moses. You know that.
Thank you. Okay, I guess not stole it, but sharing, introducing some of. Thank you for helping me with my words, my phrases. But again. The scripture mentions, I've read again of Zechariah, since I've read over six of his books, especially Genesis Revisited, The Wars of Gods and Men, and I think it was the last one, the black covered one.
He had one on Enki,
right. Okay. And again, it's a controversy from my understanding of, again, the Sumerians and the Anunnakis. And the Bible of the let us, or the gods of the Elohim, do this and that and other. My understanding again is we're talking about the Bible mentions the God. If you're going again, in order for a lie to form, one must distort the truth. All mythology has a lot of truths in it, and these different religions, especially five major ones that has been written and by man. Had added, plagiarized, and revised, and put their quote-unquote two cents in to change the stories. So with that in mind, again, the Garden of Eden said that there's supposed to have been four rivers that parted from it. And two, the Gihon, or the Pison, which from my understanding would be just south of Egypt, and it used to be called Nubia, now called Sudan, where there's gold. And the gold of that land is good. And there's also bdellium, which I found to be resin because they had to seal the pyramid block, and onyx stone, not just onyx, but all precious and semi-precious stones that they needed here on this planet. Okay, then there were the other two were, but there was Gihon, as it said, and it went through the whole land of Ethiopia. It mentions Ethiopia by name. And Gihon, when you look on the map, it'd be people who researching information for facts. It's called the Blue Nile. Then again, the Pison would be called the White Nile. Then the other two rivers are the Hictadel, which would be called the Tigris nowadays. And it mentions Euphrates by name. Again, though we talk about two civilizations. And again, from my understanding, again, my research, all these different cultures, the Mesopotamians, especially Sumerians, you got the Babylonian Sumerians, Sumerian region, where Abram, he was a citizen of the city of Ur, down a Chaldean, near the Sumerian, within the Sumerian region. Then you got the Greeks, when they got the information, they put their two cents in. Like the brother just said, from my understanding, the devil is Hades, the trinity of Zeus, Jesus, stayed in the heavens. He cast one down into the water, down to the land, which was Poseidon. Then he cast the other one down into the fiery depths of hell. Yeah,
no, you're spot on. When you were a little boy, were you interested in this? When did this happen?
My mom took us to churches as children, but I really didn't understand. Again, in black churches, I DJ. I used to do a lot of DJing. And it's that the soul has, well, all music, not just, I love all music, man, country, jazz, opera, you know, I love music, period. But it's just how the soul resonates, you know, as far as the church service part. But I didn't really get in my quest until, again, 1994, when I was, there were two of my brothers passed. The first one got murdered in 94.
Oh, God.
And I was led to Atlanta, quote unquote, Atlantis, what they call the Black Mecca, and Coast to Coast AM, to name two.
You got it. Well, listen, you've been a great listener for us over the years, Moses, and you know your stuff. You really do. So, I, being one who never walks away from anything, I'm going to go back to that word that I kept flubbing up, because there are some words in your life that you just can't pronounce, even if you're supposed to be a professional broadcaster. So here I go. Malevolent. That's it. Malevolent. Evil, harmful, injurious. Malevolent. Well, I almost screwed it up again. But malevolent. That's it. Okay, I had to do that. There's no way I could walk away tonight and not do that. Kim's in Fairbanks, Alaska. Welcome to the show. Hi, Kim.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm sorry for your losing your sister.
Thank you, Kim. She was 58 years old. She was one heck of a fighter. She has two wonderful daughters. One works for NBC in New York. The other is in the music industry in New York. Born in Detroit, both of them, and they made their way out there. But that was her whole life. Her two kids were her life. And I've got the greatest brother-in-law, and they were by her side all the time during this tragedy.
Yeah,
she never complained.
Too young.
Never complained once. Operations, taking out the tumor, having it grow back. She never complained until it got to the point where she went into her coma, comatose, and then it happened. But thank you for
that. I wanted to say that on the 26th of August, I was listening to June DeYoung.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like during the break, I don't remember if it was like a half hour into her part of the show, or the next hour, but on the local news, on our local station, there was a report that there was a misfired missile at Kodiak, and it exploded the launch pad and went up in the sky and rained down a bunch of debris. And then she came back after the break, and she said, "I see a missile being shot down from the north." And she says, "I think it's Alaska." But this isn't the first time they've had messed up.
No, they had one in 2007 that was shot down.
Right, right. It happens.
That was it was a test, though, and it worked. Yeah. They shut it down.
So I don't know. Maybe there's going to be more.
Oh, God. Let's hope not, huh?
Yeah, really.
That's hope not. Okay, Kim, thanks for being on Coast to Coast. We go to Rick in Greaseville, Florida. Hi, Rick. Thanks for calling.
Hey, George. It's good to talk to you again. Sorry for the loss of your sister, but I know the Lord has her in his hands, and
thank
she's
you.
In a good place now. But I want to talk to you about last night's program. I missed it because I went to bed. We're talking about the 9/11, buildings collapsing.
That's right, and he is really, He's confused about, in confused, I mean, he just doesn't know what happened. The Building 7, he believes that there was a controlled demolition that brought that down because he said it didn't get hit by planes. It had some minor fire, but not enough to bring down a building. I mean, it is weird.
It is, and I was watching the morning program on NBC or whatever it was the morning that happened. For some reason or another, it was freezing outside in New York, and they were on top of the building filming their news broadcast that morning.
Okay.
Because I know he mentioned something about the corporations, the news corporations and everything being involved in stuff like this. And that morning, it was the Today Show or something was on top of the building. They were freezing out there doing their broadcast, and in the background was the Twin Towers, and I was watching as the first plane hit the tower.
Oh, wow.
It was live, and I'm saying, did I really see what I saw? And why are they sitting on the roof of this building in the freezing winter doing a broadcast outside at that particular time?
That's weird.
It makes you wonder about it. But then again, I get thinking, Obama got into office like he did, and maybe whoever's behind all this had to have some control in getting him into office. I never heard of Obama until he started running for president.
He popped up, and he just exploded on the map. Senator from Illinois, and he just zoomed to the forefront. And, you know, 2016 is right around the corner now. It's going to be a change, whether you like this president or not. The system will work, and we will move on. You know, some people have said, well, no, he's going to stay in office forever. They said that about George Bush, too. The system will work, and we will move on. Would an election ever be postponed? Yeah, I can see that happening from some tragedy, but not indefinitely. Absolutely not. It's almost time to take this break, and then we're going to come back with more. Don't forget, download those free apps. My gosh, take advantage of it. The word free is very big these days. You can grab them in the coasttocoastam.com store.